I like it how I jumped up and y'all jumped up too. Appreciate it. All right, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Doesn't look like we have a Brandy on here. So, I guess I'll do roll call. Vicky's not on here either, right?
Nope.
Okay, Brian Perry?
Yes.
Jared Ping?
Yes.
Jared Robbins?
Yes.
And Terrence Stuper. All right. Now, if we join us for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Grab a second.
Rob, do you want to take notes?
If you want to, but we are recording.
Oh,
so
Brandy just joined.
Oh, and Brandy just joined us? Perfect. Okay, so public comments. Speak away.
I'll try to be quick. So I noticed on your agenda that you guys have sewer and water bill increased, and I'm not sure as some people like me actually are doing pretty well at my job right now, but a lot of people are either without working or on small budgets. I don't know if right now would be a good idea to do that. A lot of people in town are already complaining about prices of water bills. I know mine's gone up every month since I've gotten the new meter. I just don't think right now, with the economy and the way people are in and out of work right now, if that's such a good idea, just my two cents. But the other reason why I'm here this evening is, after following a FOIA request through you guys, according to Section 1.5 of the Open Meetings Act, you guys are required to all have Open Meetings Act training until your board members show. Mr. Perry and Ms. Bufo.
I did mine 9 years ago when I started, so.
Well, but maybe they lost it.
Yeah, a lot of us have been to the schools too. Like, I went to a school, a new, whatever you call it, new elected official school.
Sure.
They did the open meetings training in that. So,
I just remember a couple times where the Open Meetings Act's been violated here, one of which being on May 21st last year, covering microphones during meetings. That's a blatant violation of the Open Meetings Act. Mr. Miller could probably provide a little more information to you on that. As well as, I'm kind of here to get some information on, according to your employee hiring manual, your employee policy manual, I got some questions regarding Rena Anderson's hiring.
Mm-hmm.
According to this, it says that you should be taking every precaution to basically, following steps should be taken. It doesn't say shall. Was there a reason why a job posting was never put out about that position?
We double-checked with our lawyers and we didn't have to, so.
Okay. I guess my biggest concern is if that's going to be your practice, you might want to put that in your policy manual.
We're actually rewriting it, so maybe we can do that.
Okay.
So
I guess that's just my biggest concern is, as well as on January 21st of 2020, you guys went to executive session for an hour and 45 minutes to discuss a police chief's job description. I understand that you can go into it for personnel, such as hiring and firing of personnel and money issues, obviously. But whenever you go into that, that's something that really could be done in public discussion.
We wouldn't have gone into a meeting it would have been personal. It would have been something personal or land.
Or salary or
okay,
something
like
that.
You guys tabled
lines.
That to go into executive session for, though.
I don't remember. We wouldn't have, because if Mark was here, he would have told us we were, because he tells if we get off topic and we discuss what we're not supposed to, he puts us right back on topic really, really well.
And I'm not here to debate it with you. I'm not saying.
No, and I understand, and I appreciate you keeping us honest, but Mark's really good about this, and he does chastise us from time to time, telling us we're swaying one way or the other, and brings us right back on topic. So we try to make sure we abide by it.
Okay.
There would be a motion in the minutes from that meeting that articulates what you went in executive session and what you would have talked about.
And it was probably about the chief of police stuff, but
so
I'm guessing it's probably
possible
salary.
That they had it on the agenda that they were going to talk about the job description.
Sure.
but then they went in executive session to talk about personnel matter.
Sure. And I just holding you honest because the matter of the fact is, we're a small town. You got to keep yourself as open government. I mean, it's one of those things. Everybody hears something from somebody. But my biggest thing is the covering the microphones has to stop. That's illegal. It's against the Open Meetings Act. No matter which way you look at it. That was just my two cents from what I've gathered from the law, and I've confirmed it from some other sources, that covering up microphones to have side discussions that probably should be done in executive session, for instance, could be taken care of that way. So that's all I had. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks.
All right.
I don't think we got any. Brandy, do we get any anything to the office about questions or anything? Sorry.
Cut
you off.
We could eliminate all the website and the mics and not have that issue.
Someone's got their volume turned up on their computer.
Justin's muted. Brandy's not, or Brian and Brandy aren't. Brandy is.
So.
It might have been Brandy.
All right. What else? Anything else on that?
No.
Okay. Engineering reports. We don't really have any engineering reports. The MFT stuff we passed. There's review the quote for the storm sewer management plan. That was the EPA thing, the discharge and. I think most of that's taken care of. With that, there was some stuff, I think I sent it out to everybody. Ryan and I were kind of talking about there's some grants coming up. I kind of had the webinar on in the background today for a little bit and kind of played. We qualify for a lot of stuff on that. Our sewer plant would qualify. They're not giving anything under $250,000, so we have to have
a large project.
A large project.
Are you talking about the disaster relief?
No,
no.
There's a
it's a rebuild Illinois.
Yeah,
but does the state have the money for it?
They have funded it up to. I can't remember. It says in there what they funded up to, because that was one of the questions that came up during the webinar, and so I think we need to get stuff in as quickly as possible to it. Because as soon as they run out of money, they're done.
And it closes the end of next month, correct?
Yeah, correct. And we're going to have a couple things ready to go by then, too. If we do the sewer plant and some of the lift stations, like one of the things that would fit perfect in there is if we do the sewer extension south, where we bring the trailer park in and the school and that subdivision, because there was.
Redone after the sewer plant.
Well,
first though, right? Because you don't have capacity.
It can all kind of work in together, but yes. But we can, if we do the rates, if we go off the rate study and do the rate study like we're to do, and that gave us a 10-year plan to pay for the sewer plant and all of that, if it kind of filters into all of that.
Do you have to do the projects and then they refund you?
I don't know. I don't remember if they said that or not.
Is that how most grants items work, do you know, Mark? Or do they kind of vary?
They do vary.
I haven't been able to look too close at it yet.
We'll work on it some more. We have projects we're getting out anyway, because we're doing like a 10-year plan anyway. So if we can get our 10-year plan done on this grant, that's kind of a win-win. I think there has to be some matching funds. If we do the sewer plant, we'll get 5% back through is it EPA?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Cost sharing or matching requirements is no.
So, but we're not going to get everything we ask for either. It'd be nice if we could get the loans. Hi. Nice if we could get the loans, get the 5% back, and then get the grant money. So that's something that we're working on. Read that. If you can do the webinar, do the webinar.
Is it saved where like you can watch it?
Gave me an email, said it was saved.
So I just looked at funding information real quick because I'm scanning it. There's only $50 million for the state in this fund. They're not looking at products under $250,000. and a grant ceiling of $5 million per project.
Yeah.
So.
And if, just texting back and forth to Tim, I think he said we're, if we did everything that we've kind of talked about, we're at $10 million,
okay.
Which we don't have $10 million, but that's kind of wishful thinking.
That's per project.
But that's
so if you have two different projects, water's a separate project from sewer.
True.
Separate application.
Unless we did the sewer extension south and a sewer plant and made that one project.
I'm all for ask for the moon.
Yeah.
See what we can
see what we get. I mean, we can write it all up, send it in. If we get the grant, great, and then we can always
if we don't, we'll
go back on it.
Shoot. To have something by next meeting, just
possibly. I know he said he would be done with everything by the middle of next month, which
Tim.
I'm like, that's cutting it really close.
Tim.
Yeah, Tim. So, that's kind of where we're at on that. So,
probably the earlier the better.
That's
so
what I'm thinking too.
I needed to call him anyway, something about that grant, and then I can. We can all kind of talk to him and see what he can get together.
There was some weird things on the grant, too. It wasn't for demo. It's like, we can't demo downtown and pay for it with a grant. But we can take a space and refab a space for a business to move in. It was like, it was some kind of weird
so
stuff, how you have to write it up.
Which probably means you could demo it and then have provisions.
That somebody's
like,
moving for a business to move in or something. But we can't just demo it.
Infrastructure there.
Yeah, it was interesting to the different parts of the grant. So, all right. Anything on that? Okay. Public Works. Ryan's been working with Matt a lot on Public Works stuff. We had a lot of water issues that's on here to talk about. I know we had another house that was doing the exact same thing that Holtz was doing where it was coming up through the drain in the
sump pump?
In the basement. No, it was coming
up through
the
floor drain.
And their sump pump couldn't keep up with it. Matt, the catch basin outside their house was empty. They didn't have any water in their ditch. Matt went ahead and ran it anyway. Or the next day, jetted it, just for precaution, you know. So, any other discussions on Public Works or anything?
Did you have any questions on what I sent?
The budget.
For budget wise? Anybody else can see that too. I'm good with that.
There's just. There, I think there. This is just kind of cuts that Ryan worked on with Matt. Chainsaws.
One for Mark.
So, I don't know a lot about chainsaws, but do we need a 30 bar? Don't we already have one?
I don't know what we have.
Okay, because I noticed these are still on here, but he puts those on there every year, and I thought we got him one last year.
I don't remember.
I don't know for sure. I can't say it for sure. I know he had three on there. He's always puts them on there, and I thought we got him one last year. And I thought our plan was to get him a new chainsaw each year, or until he had all three of them.
I'm just worried about a 30-inch bar. That's where you start getting dangerous.
A really big chainsaw.
That's a felling saw, and I don't know how many trees were that large. We should be doing ourselves.
That one pine tree they took down on was pretty huge. So, I have a question about that, but then the hydrants. You had a comment on the hydrants, like doing a few a year.
Wouldn't me. And our hydrants are.
We got to start budgeting
inspections
and replacement. Yes, but I didn't have any comments on it.
He's been going around, and we have some that are old as 48, I believe.
Wow.
So that does a couple things too. It also dates our that system that's running on water-wise too. So that is kind of valuable. So we know it's not any newer than 1948. So, good or bad?
The bucket truck. I know he's set on one of these big, you know, box style. Why we can't look at more like the 1-ton chassis?
Yeah, I don't know what just kind. A little bigger. I don't know what kind now. He's looking at.
The ones he keeps sending are the huge ones.
Okay.
Not. I mean, they got the big work truck body on them.
Yeah, but for $30,000, that's not bad. I mean, how much are the 1-tons?
Probably gonna drop $10,000 on it.
You think so?
I can check into that. I'm not sure. Did he send something out that showed the bucket truck?
He has sent a couple in the past.
Okay.
Because he was gonna have them bring one up for us to look at during the week sometime.
In my notes on there, kind of what me and him discussed, mm-hmm. and then I, you know, some thoughts. You know, if we didn't do that, we could rent a JLG for.
Yeah, I mean,
it's and I've got those quotes. I think I put prices on what it would cost to rent one.
Yeah, you did
for a week.
And that's that was really helpful.
So. I will have some more notes to add to that.
Because I wouldn't be against buying a used JLG lift, too, for what we use it for,
mm-hmm.
cutting trees and painting flags.
And you can rent them fairly easy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
everywhere it has several of them.
And I got a credit app sent to Brandy so we can have another vendor to choose from, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
I'm sorry, I don't have my paper on that.
So I think this is good. This gives us
because this going the right direction. We don't need to do this till next.
Yeah,
we
but
do.
This,
okay.
This gets everybody thinking this way.
Did you ask? I don't want to because I don't want to ask them questions you guys already talked about the light tower generator.
We don't need that.
Okay,
it's on my. I sent a newer one out. I think I crossed that out.
All right,
we can.
I like the idea, but how often is it going to get used?
There was some thoughts about the sewer plant having it for out there.
Well, and that's what
would that even be large enough?
Well, and that's what we can, as we refurbish our lift stations and the sewer plant, we can get it set up so it's specific for one generator, and
mm-hmm.
we can carry it. You know, and if we have the light standard on it, that's I don't think that's much more. So that's something we can put off, add to a project or.
Cool.
So I just crossed that off of here.
Yep.
Okay.
So I understand this is all the budget cuts we want to make?
It's
and
ideas.
Your comments are in red?
Mine are in blue. The red are the cuts that were
cuts
suggested.
Cuts are in red.
Oh, okay.
The original budget is what Matt put together, and then it went through and there's some cuts suggested, and then the blue were my comments, and we've added some that could be cut.
Gotcha.
And then others that just... You know, like the salt, for instance, we can cut that, but we just need to be aware that that's going to keep us below half of our stock.
Yeah.
So if we do have a bad snow year and we run out,
and that's what you can't plan for.
April. Yeah. But when me and Matt went over this, I said that's just stuff that, you know, if we do cut that, it's our job to make sure that we know that.
So he's wanting to cut turn on the ESDA shed this year.
We need to talk about that. I can get a quote to see what it costs to have somebody do it, and then we can. We're going to need a lift to do it, one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
And I'd like to get in there and look to see what it's like.
We might be able to have someone that wants to recycle the metal.
Maybe
and
the
maybe
person
come...
that wrote, "I still love you" on it.
Exactly.
As a memorial. So.
I know that one of the retired guys I used to work with, he said something to me about it, that he knows a guy, and he was going to give me the number, and he hasn't yet, so I'll circle back around to him. Because if they take the metal off of it, and that's the deal, you can have all the metal, just tear it down. Knock it down, and then we can deal with the...
If anyone's into repurposed lumber, that's the stuff in that is old and would be great for projects right now.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So stuff like that, I like to just get a quote, and then we know,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it's... Yeah. $800, then, it might be worth just having somebody else do it.
So long as they are insured.
All right. Any other thing on Public Works?
Ryan, do we still have a backhoe?
No. We got the Mini now. The Mini and that smaller in loader.
Okay, so the Mini does have a digging bucket, yeah, though.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
We might have a couple attachments for it.
They got a couple of different sizes of buckets and stuff. It's pretty fun. All right, Justin, you got anything for the police department? I think you're muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, we can hear you.
I really don't have a lot other than, if anybody doesn't know, we did get a large amount of office furniture donated to the village. So the one office that needed furniture in the police department has fairly good shape office desk in there now. And there is a half a garage full in the PD that is going over to the village when Matt and the guys get a chance to put it together and put it in there.
Nice.
And that's about all I got.
That's Justin's office. It's all new stuff. Well, not new. It's slightly used. It's a lot cheaper than having to buy it. And we've got enough to do the entire village and Matt's office in the garage and maybe even do the front counter. So I told the ladies in the front office to look at carpeting. I think they're going to do carpet squares, rip that up and do the industrial carpet squares. Between them and our maintenance, we can get those laid down and then maybe rip that front counter out. So
just make sure we buy extra.
Oh, yeah. That's why... Rita's first thing Rita said, she goes, "That's perfect. So when somebody spills something, you rip it up and you glue a new one down." So we're going to look at that. And that actually will make that place look really decent. Brandy, you got anything for the treasurer's report? Just need a motion to pass the bills.
Motion to pay bills.
Second.
All right.
You guys cut out a little to make a motion to pay the bills presented.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
All right. Roll call. We'll do.
Brandy needs to mute.
I just.
Yes.
Dean.
Yes.
Robbins.
Yes.
Stuber.
Yes.
Perfect. All right, we have one sewer credit on here. It's for the Fishers. They have paid for their second meter, but we cannot get it installed yet. So until then, we're just going to do sewer credits for them until we get the second meter installed. So they're making arrangements to get that done. So that's kind of where we're at.
What ended up happening?
Huh?
Not the right setup, or?
What do you mean? They have to go in their house to put the second meter in.
Oh, that didn't happen today?
I don't think so, unless...
I think it...
We still have to do the sewer credit though, because this is for last month or last.
Okay.
Oops.
You might ask about that tomorrow, because I think.
Did they make arrangements?
That, and I think they found a leak on Jeff's side. I think ask Matt; he can tell you for sure.
We'll do. I knew they were going to. After talking to Gary, he was going to set it up to get it done. And the maintenance guys all have masks. Justin brought several different styles of masks over for them to use at their leisure. So.
And then just FYI, the bigger meters, like the 14th, 15th, and 18th, Davis Hawks coming to replace those. So.
And that'll get us pretty much. I know there was one house they missed. Woody was talking about one house they missed amongst all the other ones. So they're going to go back and try to get that one. So on the sewer credit, it's for $27.36.
I'll make the motion to approve that sewer credit.
I got a second.
All right, roll call. Actually, I can do roll calls. Vicky Buffo.
Yes.
Ryan Perry.
Yes.
Jared Ping.
Yes.
Jared Robbins.
Yes.
Terrence Stuber.
Yes.
Perfect. All right. Regular session notes on April 21st, 2020.
I'll make a motion to accept the regular session note.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? All right, review of the employee manual. We got that email today.
Yes.
Any comments, questions, or concerns?
Yes. Lots. So we thought that we need your actual signature on all the forms in the actual employee manual.
Need my signature?
Yeah.
Okay.
other questions that everybody compiled up were, do we actually need a witness?
The witness can be Brandy since here's our HR, when she hands it to them, she just witnesses next to it, and it goes in their personnel file.
Okay.
But is she witnessing that they just received the document, or is she witnessing that they reviewed everything in it?
Only that they received it. It's not our job to make sure that everyone reads the document. It is their job to make sure they read the document.
Correct.
Okay. Organizational chart.
Do we have an organizational chart, really?
No. We probably should put one together, but that way it gives them a grievance procedure when they grieve something.
Okay.
So
I will need that.
Yeah.
Put that in there.
That'd be pretty simple. We can figure that out.
Should we reference who is designated to answer village resident emails under 4 in the people deserve section? Right now it says voicemails and emails should be responded to on the same day that they were received whenever possible. And if you can't provide an answer immediately, you should at least tell them quickly that you're working on a solution to their question.
Huh.
Should we designate one village person, board member to do that?
Normally the front office answers them.
I would be fine with the front office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if they'll...
Even if it's just the email, we received your...
Okay.
Yeah, and then they'll shoot it to Matt or shoot it to one of us or all of us.
Next question in the top paragraph, it references if there is a complaint against the village president.
That'd be me.
Then it should be reported to the village clerk, who reports it to the board. Should it go straight to the board? Right now it says an employee who feels that he or she has been the subject of sexual harassment or other form of discrimination-based harassment should immediately report the matter to the village president. If the complaint relates to the village president, then the employee should report the matter to the village clerk, who will forward the complaint to the village trustees for investigation.
I think it needs to stay with the clerk because she's responsible for disseminating the information to the board. That way that person doesn't have to go to me or to Terrence, and then I have to now go to you and you and you.
I like that.
The only way that works is if the clerk is not also an employee.
But she also does HR.
but an employee does HR. The clerk is an appointed position of the board, mm-hmm. not an employee position. It just so happens that she...
In addition to that, it says complaints will be promptly investigated by the village president or the village trustees as applicable. Any investigation will be kept as confidential as possible. However, where confidentiality is not compatible with a thorough investigation, it may not be possible to maintain confidentiality.
What if it went to the clerk and a designated board member, both?
So, what if it's against the clerk?
Well, then it would go to the village president.
Go to the president.
Okay.
Unless, and more than likely, we're not going to have the president and the village clerk sexually harassing one person. Least I, but we are small, though, so it's hard to start designating too far out.
Hopefully we just never have anyone sexually harassing or harassing anyone, period.
I like leaving it with the clerk, and then the clerk can go to a board member.
Okay.
That actually works out well because... Back to that real quick, because I kind of sent that email out, kind of designated board members,
mm-hmm.
giving companions to our employees, and so she has a designated board member
yes,
to go
does.
To. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So the full-time definition, correct in terms of hours, it says exempt employees are those on salary or not entitled to overtime pay under the Fair Labor Standards Act. Those are employees with management or professional duties who earn a specific minimum salary per year. A non-exempt or hourly employee are entitled to be paid 1.5 times their regular hourly wage for hours worked over 40 hours per week. Time off of work for any reason is not counted as hours worked for purposes of computing overtime. Employees will be advised of their status as either hourly or salary at the time of hire, and separate rules for overtime pay may be applied to the police department. So is the full-time definition correct in those terms of hours?
Well, the only exempt.
What's the number, Jared?
It's on page 17 of the non-exempt and exempt employees.
3.7.
3.7.
We kind of only have one exempt employee right now. I guess.
But we can't think of just who we have now. Do you have any suggested changes to that, Jared?
I just need to make sure that the full-time hours are correct.
So if full-time employees are designated full-time at 35 hours per week, is that correct? It feels like it should be lower.
For full-time?
Yeah.
No, 37.5 is what...
Yeah, 37.5 is the civil service minimum for full time.
Okay. Covers five lunches. I think we should change that.
35
doesn't feel right.
It just covers five lunches
and
40 hours.
In terms of benefits and health care benefits, if there's a different number there for full time designation.
I think, doesn't everybody work 40 hours a week here?
If we lower that, then Matt's going to have to get his part-time guys to be working less as well. Because his part-time guys have to work 35 hours.
Yeah, I think that we both quit. I can hear myself echoing and sorry about that.
Okay, go.
I think she muted herself.
Yeah, Brandy did. Go ahead, Vicky.
Vicky?
I think you want me to repeat. I'm not proposing that we lower it. I just want to make sure that we're clear on what number we want there as a designation.
So are we staying with 35?
So
37 and a half.
37 and a half is fine, but the thing with MATS workers, they could work 40 hours. They're still not going to get benefits because they're not working over the whatever the allotted time is a year. I can't remember what it is.
1,000 hours.
So as long as they don't work over the 1,000 hours, they're not a full-time employee.
That 1,000 hours is only for IMRF.
So...
should it be 40, or do you want it 37.5?
I think just leave it at 40. Because well, I think all
right
of our employees are 40.
That's what we're asking.
Do what?
So we want to change it to 40.
I think so. I mean, anybody else have a thought?
So what about the part-time hours definition correct? Is it under 30?
Because right now it says under 35.
Well, I'd like to keep that as high as possible, but because we there's times when MATS workers work 40 hours a week, but they don't work over the 1,000 hours, so that's
okay.
Why we don't have to provide them benefits and stuff.
Can we put that something about part-time workers too?
So it says
don't routinely work 40
so
hours a week.
It's individuals who are regularly scheduled to work less than 35 hours per week. Part-time employees are not eligible for benefits described in the manual except where noted to the extent required by the state or the federal law. So if we're saying 35 hours per week, they can't work over 35.
How about an average of 35 hours per week? Is that what they go over, and sometimes they'll go under? And then put less than 1,000 hours a year. Average of 35 hours a week, not more than 1,000 hours.
It's getting almost to the point where we may need an HR special. We may need an HR special to look at that to make sure we're not going to be...
because that's kind of how we...
tying ourselves into a corner we don't want to be in as far as language and all of a sudden including people that we don't want included in getting health care.
Well, U of I, we have our 900-hour workers.
That's
they
a
little
different.
They do 40 hours a week. They can actually do overtime, but they can't work over 900 hours. And they don't get benefits. There's no benefits and all that.
Nice check.
Is Mark there at all?
Nice check.
Yeah.
I am.
Mark, are we sure there isn't something about 30 hours? I'm trying to look up something with the American Care Act. Does that apply to us, or is it based on number of employees?
I have a vague recollection about it, but I don't know for sure.
Because I thought there was something about 30 hours a week on average over a prescribed time frame, certainly being designated as full time.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking it up on my phone. I just don't remember for sure. And I apologize,
and
I don't have that answer.
If you have a certain number of employees, maybe you have to offer them health insurance then. If they're designated as full-time. Maybe we can come back to this while Mark's looking, but
that's fine.
I think we really need to look into that number.
The initial review period has it in 6 months. Do we still want to keep that as 6 months for the initial review period?
I don't have a problem. Police department's a year, but...
so.
Yeah, you kind of like the... personally, I'd kind of like to know if I suck after 6 months.
Yeah.
So that
6 months, yeah. I think 6 months for an office or
yeah.
Public Works is fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, if they really suck, they have to come in a whole lot earlier than that. Don't wait.
No, we gotta wait till you get 6 months to fire you.
Right.
It's never been that, so.
But
the language in here that's interesting, it says performance evaluations will generally be done during this time period. So 6 months makes sense maybe, but if we're not doing some sort of formal
evaluation,
we just want to remove that part.
Can we remove the word generally,
oh,
please?
Oh, heck no.
Yeah. Performance evaluations may be done.
Will be done.
Shall. Or guaranteed
shall.
They will be done and say they will be done, but then we have to make sure that that's happening.
I like will be done.
There we go.
Let's see. So then it says, we need to clarify that time off work for any reason is not counted as hours worked.
See, I don't like
What number
that.
Is that? Is that just still in 3.7?
3.7, yes.
See, I don't like that. Because I don't like it. It should be hours
worked. Why? Time off?
Because...
I disagree with you all day long on that.
I know. And we've argued this point. Because if... So say Justin does a vacation day. Well, I guess Justin's
wrong
not
person.
A wrong person because he's not. Say Brandy does a vacation day on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So she took 8 hours off on Monday. We call her in on Sunday to do something. She doesn't get overtime.
Yeah, that's callback. Yeah, but she stays late on Tuesday and stays late on Wednesday.
There you go.
For a total of 4 hours, she wouldn't get those as overtime because she's under 40 hours worked because she used 8 hours
of
time off. I don't like that either. I think if you're using your own time off, I'm using my time. This is money that or the time that you gave me to use. It needs to calculate in as hours that I worked or hours that I should have been there.
For at least for vacation.
Yes.
For comp time, I don't care what you do with comp time. If you want to say comp time doesn't count for... towards your hours worked that week.
So non-exempt or hourly employees are entitled to be paid 1.5 their regular hourly wage for hours worked over 40 hours per week. Time off of work for any reason is not counted as hours worked for purposes of computing overtime.
It could go to reduce the amount of vacation they use.
Employee will be advised of their status as either hourly or salary at the time of hour.
We use 8 hour days, right? You just change it to hours worked over 8 hours a day.
So we're going to change the time off of work for any reason is not counted as hours?
Well, then you wouldn't have to change that.
But then if we ever went to 10-hour days for...
Then you change your policy.
But that's the point. We don't want to have to keep changing the policy.
But you're changing... This is saying that we work 8-hour days. All of a sudden we're going to work 10-hour days for... more than just for a week, you're going to have to go in there and change. Say, hey, this needs to get changed 10 hours because you're now scheduled for 10 hours a day.
Right, but if we leave it at after 40, then it doesn't matter how we schedule the week.
I was trying to come to a common of, I take Monday off, I can at least get my overtime if I work 10 hours on Tuesday.
Or you could get your time off reduced by the hours you work.
That's flexing hours, though.
Flexing hours. So we're bringing flexing time.
You're going to have to add something here about flexing.
That's...
Vicky,
I'm not for either way.
I know you have
an
opinion on this.
The 40 hours per week would account for some
flex,
right? So if somebody works 10 hours in a day for any reason, they could then take those additional 2 hours off somewhere to keep under 40. But if they couldn't for any reason, then they would get paid overtime because they're over 40 hours in the week. So the flex is sort of built into that language, I feel like, as long as we keep, which we would, non-exempt hourly employees are entitled to be paid 1.5 times their regular hourly wage for hours worked over 40 hours.
And their vacation, comp, and sick time doesn't count towards that 40 hours. It's majority rule here. I'm against that. I don't like that. But you have two that have worked for the state for a long time, and now we have a third. So, and we think differently about stuff. So.
I'm not out early anyways.
Me either.
There you go. So opinions?
I'm not against the using your
Benefit time
to count towards the 40. So I think I'm agreeing with you.
Okay.
here's a scenario for you. Someone is sick and they use PTO time, so they'll have their day off, but then they work the other day, so now we're also paying them overtime?
If they worked over on those days, if they worked over their 8-hour days.
So if they work 10 hours on one of those four other days, I mean, you're keeping me past when I should go home. So we want them to come to work sick?
Forget that. They took the day off.
They took the day off. Yeah.
They just took the day off as a personal day, a vacation day. Same scenario Vicky has, and they work two extra hours on a day. So we've already paid them with the time off, and now because they chose to stay 2 hours later, we are now paying them overtime. We've paid them for the day that they weren't there, for them to just be gone and do whatever, and now we're paying them overtime, and they haven't actually worked for us for 40 hours.
The problem I have with that was you were choose to stay over.
Yeah.
I'm rarely choosing to stay late. It's because
do we have
happens,
something in here that
stay late.
That overtime has to be approved?
I don't know.
Otherwise, people are going to
pretty much
could
is
stay.
Anyways, isn't it?
It's pretty much. I mean, I don't pretty, know.
What?
A lot of times now it's is. Approved after the fact, but.
So I'll give you a scenario. If I'm sick on Monday, and then Tuesday we come in and we have a water main break, and we work 3-4 hours over, whatever, that should be time and a half. Because he's not, the individual's not choosing to be there, but, you know, if they say, well, you know, at 4 o'clock, everybody else is on time and a half, but you're not because you had off on Monday. The likelihood of saying, well, then I'm going home at 4 o'clock. I know that's not a very good work ethic, but most people wouldn't do that. But
could.
They very well could.
So we have not been doing this, correct? Because it was written in here as we were not counting it. So we would really need to think about what that means potentially for budget concerns, too. If we have not been counting that as time worked per this policy here, and we change that, we need to think about what that means financially as well. And maybe we hold on to this one until we know what that looks like so that we can make a really good decision about it.
Okay.
And I'm not opposed for flex time either.
Well, and that we do flex time now.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
A lot of them will flex if they have a doctor's appointment or if they have, you know, something comes up and they have to run a kid somewhere or something like that, that they're really good about flexing. And a lot of them, for their overtime, like most of them actually, most of our employees on overtime, they put it in comp time anyway and they just take it off later on.
I don't see if we were a big outfit that had, quite a few employees, it would be harder to manage. But since we have 6 people during the day,
yeah.
Well,
it hurts our police department. It hurts some of our, like, the part time police officers. If they're scheduled for an 8-hour day, they end up staying 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We need to pay them overtime for the time they stayed over. Now, when we're on 10-hour days, they're scheduled for a 10-hour day. And the way I kind of did it when I worked at the police department, I'm scheduled for 10 hours. Anything over 10 hours is overtime, even though I'm part-time.
But that's in the contract, correct?
Part-timers aren't covered by the contract.
Do we have anybody on? Is just Justin on the contract still?
He's outside of the contract.
We have nobody on the contract.
Well,
so
Adrian's on there.
Yeah, whenever he gets back.
Yeah.
And we've put off contract negotiations until when Adrian gets back.
Somebody negotiate with.
So we'll come back to that one.
Come back to that one. Yes.
Okay. Do we need?
I think Mark has info for the other
one.
Ah. Well, Vicky, of course, is always correct.
Give her a big head.
Yeah. But I don't know that it applies to us, but I think that's where the 30 hours comes from. So the Affordable Care Act says that or it applies where you've got 50 full-time equivalent employees. So if you've got 30 40-hour-a-week employees, and then you've got 50 20-hour-a-week employees, well, you add up those 20-hour-a-week employees,
25,
and then you
more.
Basically realize that even though you have 30 full-time employees, you actually may be enough to be 50 equivalents. So we're small enough where that's just not going to be an issue for us, but I think that's where the 30 hours came from. So the question you would have for me is, if it doesn't apply to us, do we need to worry about it? And unless we're expecting to grow significantly with the number of employees, probably not. So I think you could define it the way you want to define it.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Do we need to do a background verification or drug test for hirement?
Yes.
We don't really do the drug test now, but we do call on background. We do call references.
But do we do a background check? They're $10 through the state of Illinois' CHIRP system.
We have before.
Can you not do them through our police department? Is that
no,
not, I don't
and
know
not if
it
it's
works.
Not criminal. The police officers do it. For those, we do it. They can do it all themselves in-house. But they can't do criminal histories and stuff. But like you said, it's $10. And
so we do.
We leave that in there.
Required prior to any job offer, so maybe that's just the part we need to...
We need to start doing... At. Yeah, we do the reference checks, but we haven't been doing the drug or the paying for the background.
So we... That's a yes?
Yes, let's leave that in there.
And we're going to add drug test?
Yes, especially for our maintenance guys and they're running our trucks. I think that's a good idea.
How many trucks do we have that require a CDL?
I don't think any of them.
Other than the truck from Savoy does. I used to drive it.
No, wait.
It has air brakes.
It does have air brakes, but municipalities are exempt from that.
The Village of Savoy had to have a CDL while driving it for the Village of Savoy.
That's their policy, but...
I think it's a requirement because of the truck, because the CDL has an air brake endorsement.
It's just like the fire trucks.
Yeah.
We don't have to have air brake endorsement.
Yeah, we've checked on that. It's not a bad idea, and it's a good policy to have. No. But we don't, since it's a village. Or municipality. Has
so
municipality
require
plates.
Every village employee, office workers, everyone, to do a drug screening and a background check.
Yes.
No, as this states right now. So we just need someone to coordinate that effort when we hire somebody then.
Okay.
I realize we might be doing it some of the positions. I just want to clarify that we're taking a stand on every village position.
I think so, because we don't really hire that many people. So it's not that big of a cost.
And honestly...
What if we change it to May now? You know what? I'm nitpicking, but if we put it here, we need to do it. So,
Well, 311 specifically talks about the physical examination and medical testing being required for due to the physical nature of some positions.
So I'm saying we should probably start doing physicals for our PW spots anyway. Just
yeah. Fine. I'm good with that being in
does
there.
Does that fall under part-time then, too? Because they're doing
if they're
going to
be driving our
they're
truck,
they're doing the same work as.
I would think so. I mean.
And then does that fall under the part-time police?
Yeah. They'll do the drug test and the
physical.
And where is the drug-free workplace and cannabis mentioned in our employee policy?
Good question.
We haven't put that in there.
Put that in there.
Well, we'll add it.
You could have sent me that question.
I could have.
For review, like everybody else did.
Yeah, could have. Didn't come up until right now, though, so...
So we'll get back to that. So Vicky also brought up that the employee wages based off the cost of living, that we need to reword that, and that employees evaluations are being completed every September and March. Is that the case?
Sure.
Thank you for being honest.
They get done about once a year, maybe.
So
I didn't into the September and March were in there. Usually do them right before, like, we get ready for what we've done the last couple times is right before the salary talk, like raises.
Last month.
Like last
for
month.
Right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
And they haven't been done.
The village board is committed to paying competitive wages to employees based on the skill required for the position, their experience, and or longevity of the individual employee with regard to the position and ongoing performance of the employee in the assigned position. Increase in salary may be of three types. Salary based on merit and seniority over the course of employment with the village. An employee may receive periodic increases in wages based on merit, performance equal to exceeding expectations, and based on seniority. Cost of living adjustment on annual basis based on funding available to the village. Every employee wage will be adjusted based on the cost of living increase during the previous year, and all raises must be approved by the Village of Tolono Board.
That doesn't exactly.
Under unusual circumstances, an employee may have his or her wages reduced. This reduction can occur because of a reassignment to the employee, a restructuring of the position of exceedingly poor performance during an individual evaluation period. And it is anticipated that employee evaluations will be completed every September and every March. Raises due to seniority or cost of living will take effect on May 1st, the beginning of the village fiscal year. Performance bonuses or adjustments to wages may take place following either evaluation.
Well, if we've done good on the May 1st, thought we always made a retroactive to May 1st.
Yeah. I've always been good about that.
Probably need to cut out the September eval, do once a year.
So just March?
March.
Yeah.
Guess I'll be doing those Monday.
Okay.
And I only have two to do, technically.
The compensation plan
for
wages will be adjusted based on the cost of living. Would we do that? Should we do that? Will we do that? Are we doing that?
We talk about it and we decide on it. I mean, we don't exactly go right off the cost of living.
Cost of living and CPI.
So we need to word this to where people actually know, like, exactly how we're doing that. So do we want to leave it the way it is right now?
We've been doing the last, 2 years? We did raises off of
performance.
Performance-based raises instead of cost of living-based raises.
Okay.
I think we started with like 3% and went down from there. Is that right, Vicky?
I think so. I think that was right.
So. But if the village is doing really well and we have a big influx of tax dollars, then we might be able to give our employees a better raise. Which I don't see that happening in the future, but.
Could it read? Employees' wages will be adjusted on an annual basis based on funding availability to the village and remove the cost of living.
Yes, I like that.
And then that means that it includes pretty much everything you just mentioned. And I would remove every employee's wages. Again, nitpicking. Could there be a circumstance with which someone doesn't get a raise on May 1st? Maybe.
But every employee's wages will be reviewed.
Yes, you could put something in there. Every employee's wages will be reviewed and potentially adjusted on an annual basis, something like that. That's a squeaky chair.
It's Jared's chair, actually.
All right. Health insurance will be provided at no cost. Do we need to change that for if we have to change that one day, or just should we just leave that the way it is?
If we don't change it, we will always be paying full, and that may not be feasible.
So how would you like me to reword that?
Thank you. the village provides health insurance.
Just take out the...
For full-time employees.
Based on the funding available to the village, the ability to maintain no-cost or low-cost health insurance to employees will be evaluated. Full-time employees will be evaluated.
Annually?
Yeah.
Because that's a big thing for our guys. Like, I mean, our police officers are not paid the most, but if you saw what county officers pay for insurance, it's ridiculous. And Champaign officers and
anybody.
Yeah, anybody.
So the village will provide for full-time employees?
Health insurance for full-time employees. Just leave it at that.
Okay.
Then, or you can add Vicky's wording. What was your wording again, Vic?
On an annual basis, the employees, I don't remember what I said, on an annual basis.
Go back to the recording.
Exactly.
Based on funding available to the village, the cost of the employee for health insurance will be reviewed, or I'm not exactly sure what I said.
But it all sounds good, Vicky.
Perfect.
Just email me.
A little jumble.
So you guys are taking, so if an employee, full-time employee, said they didn't want insurance, we always gave them a kickback of, I don't even know what it was.
No, we don't, according to this. No,
I know according to this we don't, but I thought we did.
I don't remember us doing that.
We don't? Okay. Well, never mind then. Leave it that way.
$1.50 an hour.
There we go. I thought it was. Thanks, Justin.
I think Harper took that many, many moons ago. We haven't done it in a long time.
But was that a police contract?
Was that just the police, or was that just the police, or was that for everybody?
I think that was just for the police at that time. Then that got phased out.
Okay.
But we're talking several years ago when we actually did do that.
Okay, cool.
You were probably still an officer at the time.
Probably.
So you're just showing your age.
I'm always showing my age. Old. All right, what's next?
Page 22.
So, do we have to declare the work hour shifts, and do we really follow the 7-minute rule for timekeeping and leave? So, it says the office staff is 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., public works is 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., and police admin is 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. with a half-hour lunch break.
You can strike police admin, because we covered that with their job description and separate.
I would like the public works one to be so we can vary it.
Yeah, I agree.
It's because sometimes we need to start at 6.
So, scratch police.
I think you can word it as a 9-hour shift will be scheduled with a 1-hour lunch.
Well, he's striking that too. The time machine, the time clock, is getting moved to the shed, and the front office staff is not going to use it. It's just going to be for maintenance staff only.
We can check their computers.
You said 9-hour with a half-hour break?
When they log on and stuff.
With an hour. I mean, the way it's... The 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. is 9 hours.
Gotcha.
Do we...
So, however we need to word that. I don't know if 9-hour shift is the right way to word it, because they're not working 9 hours.
I think, our union contract, it was a 7 to 3:30 shift, but you could have plus or minus.
That's what I
say.
Why would you leave it the same and say we could be plus or minus 2 hours at the start or end of the day? So it could be.
So you could leave
the normal work schedule is 7 to 4.
Yes.
So we'd keep that.
Plus or minus.
Okay, and the office staff is 8 to 5.
Put their
plus or minus on theirs too, because we've talked about opening the office at 7 and staggering their hours. And that would allow us to do that without doing a rewrite if we decide to do that.
Okay.
So we can do a plus or minus on either side of theirs too.
Yeah, I'd say plus or minus 2 hours would be good cover.
Are paychecks distributed every other Friday?
Yes.
And absence of more than 3 consecutive days due to illness or injury requires a written statement from a medical professional explaining the absence. The village may also require a statement from a medical professional whenever absences are excessive. In addition, the village may require the employee to submit to a physical examination by a medical professional selected by the village at the village's expense at any time of illness, interfering with the employee's productivity. Note the collective bargaining agreement for the police department may contain different provisions. We're going to leave that in there. Okay.
All right. Nepotism.
Can vacation start to occur at 6 months?
Actually, that's taken reduce? Out of there. We don't do that anymore. It's occurred.
It's granted, right?
No, it's occurred same way we do with everything else. There's a whole writing on how that's occurred. I'll get you.
Right, but this is probably where we put that.
It was in the police contract.
I remember us discussing this about, because I think it was after a year.
It didn't get transferred over?
It was after a year, but I think we discussed it should start
6 months.
Immediately, I thought.
Yeah,
you start accruing immediately. Yeah. You don't wait.
You accrue immediately with the goal of having 40 hours by the time you get to a year?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's all on their paycheck where they get so much.
We can find you that language if you make a note for us. I don't have it on this computer, so.
And how would someone go about reporting a relationship as described in 7.13? I don't know if you guys read that or not. All village employees can expect fair and impartial treatment from supervisors or employees with oversight authority. As such, no employee shall hold a position at which he or she supervises, checks, or audits the work of another employee within the employee's immediate family or with whom the employee has had or is having a dating relationship. If any such relationship exists or arises, the village will either transfer one of the employees to a vacant position for which the employee is qualified or will terminate the employment of one of the employees.
So how would anyone in this relationship report that their relationship is happening?
Facebook.
Facebook.
I didn't hear that.
You said Facebook.
Ryan said Facebook.
The village president, I would think. Just like a sexual harassment complaint.
President, I think, would be mine.
But you may want to strike the dating relationship.
Why?
Or previous dating relationship. Are we going to say our employees can't date each other now?
No, we're just saying that they can't supervise them, because then someone else could say that they are treating them favorably. And I think we need to extend it past just the immediate family. If someone has a nephew that they want to hire, and somebody else finds out it's their nephew, and then they start seeing, they start seeing that person's getting all the gravy jobs versus, everybody else. I mean, no,
I don't get what you're saying, but they should say the same thing of my best friend's son is now working for me.
I know.
And
I know.
You start just adding him on.
Yes.
And there should probably be the normal term.
Yeah, there should probably be some language in there concerning village trustees and the village, family members of the village trustees or the village president as well, as to what jobs they could or potentially not hold while we are elected officials.
So,
because the mayor slash president
I get hired, is, a hiring after, like, I, if we hired Rob's wife now to be the secretary.
Absolutely not.
What, but, okay, I obviously can't do that. But if she's been, Brandy, if she's been the secretary for 10 years and all of a sudden Rob runs this for mayor and wins.
Right.
Are we going to fire a 10-year employee because somebody else made a...
Well, don't we have in there that...
That was literally the entire statement.
Okay. But I mean, as far as firing somebody, it has to come through the board. Before, you know, I'm not trying to argue with what you're saying, but there is something in there that the mayor, a new mayor can't just come in and fire everybody because he doesn't like him and he wants his own people in there.
The way you said it made me think of just because we're elected, they have to be fired.
Right. What I'm more thinking about is, let's say, you know, 10 years down the road, I run for mayor, I win, and I've got, let's see, how old is she? I've got an 18-year-old daughter that now wants to work for us at that point. As the village president, I should not let her work here because I would be supervising every employee as the mayor. Same thing for us as trustees.
Well, there's layers in there too.
Right.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but there's layers in there. So if they come to work the front office, they technically work for Brandy. Serena works for Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's workers work for Matt.
Right. But everyone works for the board.
True. But I shouldn't be going, I mean, it happens, but I shouldn't be going and telling Rena what to do without going through Brandy. I shouldn't be going and telling Matt's workers what to do without going through Matt. I mean, it doesn't always work that way.
Right. But if the mayor of the village comes to you, you're going to do it.
True.
So leave the wording as is.
Is this for full and part-time employees?
I would probably say full-time employees.
I would say full-time too.
Because I could see, you know, being a small town, I could see, just for instance, Mason's 20 and I'm on the board. And, and we need a snowplow driver and he's like, I can do it.
Yeah.
So
I would say just
full-time employees can expect fair and impartial treatment.
Well, no, all employees should expect fair and impartial treatment.
So minus the relationship part is only for full-time employees.
Yes.
And then this were some other changes from the, currently the village does not have any residency requirements for employees unless otherwise stated in a job description.
Correct. And the job description for maintenance supervisor, chief of police, and clerk all have to live in the village. I believe.
Am
I right?
Say that.
They changed maintenance supervisor.
We never did. It's the job description has never been changed.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Unless you made a provision in the hiring.
Made an exception.
We made an exception because he said he would move to town as soon as his kids got in high school. So we kind of put that off during his interview.
So it reads, currently the village does not have any residency requirements for employees.
Except for if
unless
it's
otherwise stated in a job description.
Correct.
Okay. And then all full-time employees participate in the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. Mandatory contribution of 4.5% for your gross pay will be deducted from your paycheck. And to be fully invested, you must be employed with the village for 8 years. This is not optional deduction. And you, the change is you do have the option to take an additional deduction up to 7% in addition to the 4.5%.
Can you tell me what page you are on? Or are you just reading this from your email?
1.2.
Yeah, 1.2.
Retirement, IMRF.
And so they can do an additional 7 for a total of 11.5, or they can have the option to take an additional deduction.
Have the option to take an additional deduction up there.
Mute Brandy real quick.
They have to do the 4.5%, and then they can take an additional up to 7% on top of the 4.5, so a total of 11.5.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I am on a delay and I'm echoing and it's annoying. I apologize.
No worries, we heard you.
Twice.
Next proposed change: in the event of an off-duty non-bargaining unit full-time employee is called out on emergency service call, that employee shall be paid a minimum of 2 hours paid at equivalent of 1.5 times the regular hourly rate of pay. For service call-outs.
That's, we just talked about this for part-timers. Full-time, we said we're going to leave it the same.
Okay.
Do we just need to define emergency service call? Like, what hours that includes?
Will it be any hours you're not working?
Any hours that you're not working?
Yeah.
Are the definition of emergency service call? And within the 2 hour window, front or back?
Correct.
Okay. We just might need to clarify that, but.
Well, that 2 hour window, plus or minus, would be a scheduled, you know, hey, next week we're scheduling you to come in 7 to 3 instead of 8 to 4. This would be. Not like at 5 o'clock, Matt says, hey, you got to be here at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, 2 hours early. Or at 4 o'clock, at 4 o'clock saying we have a water break, so we're going to extend the work day 2 hours from 8 to 10.
So within 2 hour window for emergency calls?
No. It'd be just staying the same, because that'd be overtime if they're staying late.
For service call out.
If we would get a water break at 3:55, it could be, hey, we need to stay late if possible because we need to fix this.
But they've already been here. They'd already been here earlier mm-hmm. at the same time, so like we can extend the work day without paying the overtime.
So, keep it the same?
I think just keep it the same.
Yes?
I think so.
Okay, we just added the new maternity leave that's required now. The alcohol and drugs. It says, to the extent permitted by law, the village reserves the right to require appropriate testing for alcohol or illicit substance wherever there is sufficient reason to believe that the employee is under the influence of those substances, not limited to but including all accidents during working hours. Not limited to but including all accidents during working hours is what suggested.
And is this where you want to put your cannabis thing?
I would say we should. That would be a good spot.
Including
to put
cannabis.
Least, yes. Including the zero tolerance for cannabis.
Including
including but not limited to.
And then I think the last one was personal dress, business attire, and then on Fridays, jeans may be worn with casual appropriate shirts.
Not to be ripped or distressed. I like that.
Is that agreement for that one?
Yes. Can we go back to the maternity leave one? You said the new required...
Yeah, it's full-time pregnant female employees may take a leave up to 6 weeks after the birth of the child.
But FMLA gives them 13. What's the difference? Other than 7 weeks. That's what I was going to say.
All personal days, vacations, comes and sick leave may be exhausted before the employee may take unpaid leave.
Right. So FMLA...
They may take up to 6 weeks.
FMLA allows 13 weeks. But it's all unpaid. It's
right.
all
unpaid.
Yeah.
Full-time employees may take leave up to 6 weeks after the birth of the child. All personal days, vacation, and sick leave may be exhausted before the employee may take unpaid leave.
Right. But I'm struggling to see why this even goes in if FMLA already covers it. To follow the federal law?
Yeah.
I don't know like that.
I think you have 50 employees.
You have to be on the ball.
Longer. Like we did our other employees. Like we did our other employees.
I don't really care that we're limiting a person to... Are you done? I don't like that we are telling a person you can only take 6 weeks of leave for this if they've got more.
It just is a delay.
If I got 8 weeks of leave time in my bank, why can't I take all 8 weeks for the birth of my child? And I don't like that we're trying to limit somebody for a...
I would say that.
Do we give them any time? Do we give them like a couple weeks paid?
No.
No, it's whatever you have in their bank.
Yeah, and if we give them that.
And if we have a part-time female employee, we would let her take time off too. So I don't know that we need to differentiate between full and part-time.
What about the male employees? Don't they get to take time off?
6 weeks.
6 weeks?
Yeah, because actually...
Not according to this.
That only says pregnant female. And it limits it to the birth of a child. It leaves out adoption of a child.
So are we just leaving it to pregnant female then?
So, Mark... We don't have to follow FMLA because we have less than 50 employees. But there's nothing that says we can't.
Sure. You can give someone a year of paid compensation if you want to. You can do whatever you want.
Because FMLA covers both...
I know what that covers, but we're not uncovered under that, like Vicky said.
Well, we don't have to follow it.
Right. So do you want me to change this
to
say...
We can boilerplate their language into ours.
Right, because...
So we want to say any full-time employee?
Well, in our employee manual, we actually reference FMLA at the top in section 1.5. We reference it as 1.5.1.1. But then we don't list it anywhere in our manual, which tells me that by reference, as this says, we incorporate it into how we run our business.
So do we need to take out that then?
Take out FMLA or take out the maternity policy?
Maternity policy.
Personally, I think that sticking with the federal guideline, even though we have fewer employees, makes it easier for us. And it covers our male employees and our female employees. And more than just pregnancy.
So just put it, family FMLA guidelines?
I can lift that too.
Yes?
Does anyone have any comments?
Mm-mm.
This stuff gives me a headache.
I know. You're doing an amazing job.
Yeah, you are. You are too.
I just want to make sure, because I can see down the road where somebody comes in and be like, that's not in the employee handbook that we just made 2 months ago. So I want to make sure it's all correct.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's...
When so did take we do out this maternity last? Leave and just put, we follow the...
This was
2019.
This is my second... What's that?
We last did this last year.
Just wasn't this in depth. Right.
Yeah, we just kind of changed a couple of things. Which I know we changed the...
Because we created it. We've created it since I've been here, because we didn't have anything.
Yeah. So from...
That was painful.
This is not as painful, but...
Yeah. Being the second time, yeah. I'm glad you're here.
I think you helped a lot.
I'm fine with whatever you want to put in the pregnancy thing, because, I mean... It's nice to have something in here, but the board we have now, and hopefully the boards that follow, I mean, like with Summer when she had her kid, we were very flexible on her coming back, and we let her go to 30-hour weeks, but kept her full-time, and I would hope any board would be flexible like that, because we're kind of still have the small-town type attitude, and it'd be hard to write all of that stuff in there. So I'm fine with leaving it just with the 6 week. Like the writing you have in here is great. And then maybe we need to put a little clause saying the employee can come to the board with and request more time or something.
So I will make all these changes to the manual with everything we discussed tonight, and I'll send that out so it can be approved for the next appointment.
Can you send us a red line edition?
You got the red line.
Alright.
Yes, cool. I'll send you out a red line edition.
Thank you, Jared.
Welcome.
That's awesome. Alright.
You guys did a fantastic job.
You did. Alright. Perfect. We kind of talked about flooding issues around town. Any other comments, questions about that? We had a lot.
Does Matt have like a jetting schedule for?
The problem we got with especially the west side with flooding issues is we need some manholes.
Mm-hmm.
We are working on a schedule, which we should have in the next week or so.
Because I've gotten some texts from the guys on like Boone, Jackson, far east side on the south there.
They have some. It would be nice if somebody has an issue that it comes in as like a work order,
yeah,
and then we can have Rena split it out as. Mm-hmm.
Well, next time
I know this one did get on the work order list, yeah, and it's just not been touched in 2 months. Okay. So,
and I have not had time to look at the work order list. So,
if next time it rains really hard like that, if Matt could go out and just start making notes of intersections and stuff, because.
And he has majority of those
does
notes.
Does he good?
But and it just falls back on, we need to figure out what we're going to do.
Well, so like you said, we need to get on a thing, because some of the catch basins are getting filled up with mud and gunk, and we just need to suck them out.
And part of that problem is we've had part-time down with issues, and then we've had
full-time replacements
guys
and everything
with
else.
Issues, and so, yeah. So it seems like We've been on a good rotation of not quite having enough people.
Everybody.
Why I have this.
But he does have a fairly good list.
Perfect.
And I am going to reach out to Anthony with Farnsworth because he redid our drainage problem areas at one point. They did it.
Okay.
So they should have a revised map that is revised from the one that's in the old village hall. So that should be refreshed, and then we can refresh it. It has our main project we did and stuff like that revised on it. So, and I would assume the new system we got, we can add flood areas on it also. Notes and stuff, so
yeah,
once that's
nice.
All, but I think that's going to be very beneficial in more ways than we probably know.
Perfect,
we're use it for.
Any other comments about that on the trench burner? I want to put that in our budget for next year to buy. Ryan's done a really good job. He's found a couple used ones in St. Louis area around 30,000.
Yes. I would say I like your idea. We could budget 40, and then because I don't want to get, you get past the 30,000, you're getting some real dandy equipment that we don't want to deal with.
So how soon could we have that?
As soon as our budget gets passed.
Yeah, I could have it within. If we had the money, a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
No problem. And I like the air burner too because. The other one's nice, and it is a little bit cheaper, but the closest place I've found that even deals with them is like West Virginia. So this air burner is Kirby Smith, I think, is like a rental place in St. Louis, and they're pretty much southern Texas, Missouri, Kansas.
And this is the one that's got Kubota parts, right?
Yeah,
so
they're
that
all
can be
Kubota
worked on,
motors.
Worked on here, and
so anybody could work on the motors. That would be the main thing. If we had anything to work on, anything else would be a fan or bearing or a piece that we could directly call this company and they can get us a part.
And if you know, say if we did spend $30,000, we're already halfway there because we took the $15,000 out of the budget to get rid of the thing. So
it's gonna,
I think it's a great idea.
I think it's a great idea.
I'm glad you found him.
I think, you know, it's going to take us a little while to get cut up because it's getting massive out there.
Yeah,
it is.
Mm-hmm. And, but I think then, you know, even if we use it quarterly, we can really shape up that whole area and keep it.
Yeah.
And we can do some mulch. Like I think I suggested, you know, whenever Ameren's in, if we want a mulch pile, I'm sure they'd be happy to dump a load or two. You know, any somewhat bigger logs we can set aside and residents can get for firewood or whatever. So
we've had inquiries about the leaves that we have sitting out there that are a year old, the people wanting those because they've broken down. They want them for their gardens and stuff.
And I think as we get the dump cleared up, we can have better designated areas that it's not so muddy. And
they've done a good job because you can actually drive out there and make a circle and come back out. They've got it all pretty much
not
mounted.
Not yesterday.
Yeah,
got stuck yesterday.
Oh no!
But we had a lot of rain. So.
Yeah, hey, I didn't get stuck when I backed the truck up in there. Okay, so I like that. Okay, now, policy. All right, on the ordinance, on the rate study, I do agree. On, I hate to even think about raising these up at all, but. We have to pay for projects because our systems are failing. I like the rate study that was done that we just had done. That rate study suggests we do 10% increase a year for how long? Was it 10 years?
No, the rate study suggested that we increase it 25% this year and then every year after that, a 10% increase.
I would not want to do 25 this year. I want to do the 10 instead. I know. I hate to. I mean, it's up to you guys. But I like the rate study was really good, though, and it gave us a projected thing and where the money was going to go to. And I think we need to stay on that path.
And I'm not opposed the 10%, especially if we can really cash in on this grant.
Yeah.
That would help us.
But this is what I liked about keeping this under local control, is that we control these rates.
Exactly.
And if we get this grant and pay for a $7 million sewer plant or whatever it is, we can now lower our rates back again.
Exactly.
We don't need this much money coming in. We're not trying to make profit on it at all.
No.
So last year when we passed the water rate ordinance, we said that May 1st this year, water would go up 5%, sewer would go up 5%.
Correct.
And that,
are we saying that that is exactly what we're doing and that is our 10%, or each of those is going up 10% instead of 5%?
We really need to increase the sewer to the same as what the water is, was what we really need to do. That's part of the reason why our sewer is, we don't have the money for the sewer system because they've never raised them to the same level. But no, that 10% would be 10 on each.
But you're saying, so it would have taken me 15% this year, because we've already raised it 5 as of May 1.
Unless we're foregoing that and just raising it 10.
But that automatically went into effect, right?
Brandy, did that actually go into effect on the water bills starting May 1?
I can't unmute her.
Brandy.
You're muted, Brandy.
Brandy, unmute yourself. Wish I could unmute her. All right. I don't know if it's gone into effect or not, but if we pass this ordinance, we would go up to 10%, we would be going up 15.
Because in the memo she sent us in the board packet, she said it should increase by 5% beginning May 1st.
So I think if we pass this, it would be whatever. Instead of the May 1st increase, we would go either 10, 25, or 17. I do like the how she did the one that's in between what the engineers are saying we should go to and this. Because it is a bad year for a lot of people. And we have a lot of water bills that are pending right now that we've waived late fees for the last couple months, and we haven't shut anybody off. So come in when we start doing it again, whether we start June 1st or whatever, we're gonna have a lot of people that are a little bit behind.
So because we can't hear from her right this second, I found the rates that we agreed to last year.
Oh, I've got that.
And I'll just do the math.
It was in the board packet.
I know it was in the board packet, but we don't have a printed board packet.
It's right there.
I know.
And I also talked about leaving the minimums what they were instead of increasing
last
the minimums
year,
up.
Oh. Last year's ordinance said 5%.
Did that go into effect?
So if we went 10%, it would be $1.69
per gallon.
Per, well, for the first 2,000.
Yeah.
and it would be a 72-cent increase after that for each 1,000 gallons.
What if we did the 17%?
That's just on water?
That's just on water, yeah. It's it's $1.35 on sewer. And $1.35 basically, and about 44 cents for the extra on sewer.
And that's on 5%?
That's on 10%.
10%. So it's 17.5?
So it's 17%. We're looking at rates that currently were $16.87 going to $19.74.
Brainy's computer froze for a second.
And $8.40 for water. Which one did you? Which one did you give me?
That's the old one.
Okay.
This is version A.
I want to see C.
There's version C, and I don't have version B. It's on the printer in the back.
That's all right. Is this me? Okay. So sewer would be $15.77 plus $5.11 after 2,000 gallons.
On version C, right?
On version C, which is 17%. So. For our folks, the base rate is a $2.87 increase on water. And a $1.22 increase on after for every additional 1,000 gallons.
Phone app's handy when you don't have your keys on you.
Uh-oh.
Here's verse B.
Oh. And sewer is an increase of $2.29 for the first 2,000. And an increase of 74 cents for every additional 1,000.
Nobody likes raising. My water bill is $90 this month, so.
Yeah, that was high too.
But knowing what our sewer plant looks like and how often we're fixing broken water lines. We can't just keep putting it off. I mean, putting it off is what got us in this place to begin with. My first meeting, I think we raised rates 20% because we were.
And they hadn't been raised in like 10 years.
Because we weren't even making enough money on water bills to pay for the water we were using.
Or didn't we pull $100,000 a year out of general fund to pay for water and sewer?
I don't remember.
I think it was a lot. Every year we're pulling money out. And the sewer and water system needs to support itself.
And part of the problem, majority of the time I've been on, we haven't had a treasurer or somebody to look after it.
So something to consider, if we raised sewer up 17%, we'd be much closer to the current water rate of $16.87. Would be $1.10 under it.
So do you want, that's not a bad idea, do sewer 17% and then do 10% on water? That would get us
You said 10%, where's B?
This one, I think. That's version B.
Okay.
I like how Brandy did these. This makes it easy.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have the option of not raising up the minimum usage too. Like leave the minimum usage a little bit lower. Because a lot of times the minimum
that
usage...
That would incorporate most of your elderly.
Exactly. Because a lot of your fixed income, they don't take... They use the minimum or less.
We can't hear you.
Heard that.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Murphy said it like, yeah, unfortunately.
It's like this voice in my head right now.
Okay, so to be clear, on May 1st, we have the 5% that's already happening. And then what we're discussing is an additional percentage on top of that, or the 5%, so 5 plus 5 equals 10, 5 plus 12.5 equals 17.5. And how soon are we proposing that we increase this extra amount? I would argue that maybe now is not the time. And if we determine a percentage, we say that it's, I don't know, if it's September, if we have to do it again. We pick a time that we can tell everyone, expect this then.
So do we also not do the 5% right now?
Well, I think that's already in motion, maybe.
Well, if we pass one of these ordinances right here, it'll supersede the May 1st raise. Because the May 1st would be billed until the next building cycle.
Right. So. But at the same time, if it's not going to be billed until the next billing cycle, we can also freeze it now.
Exactly, yeah.
Freeze the 5% that would have gone into effect at this time, and then just do a single increase at a later date. Kind of like what Vicky's saying, not do it now, especially for those that are not working. And we can't just pick and choose, you know, you're out of a job, you are working.
If that's fine, let's just pass this ordinance instead of having it go in effect May 1st, we'll have it go into effect September 1st or
July.
November 1st. What?
July
1st. Because it still would be on the billing cycle of the 15th of July or whatever.
Right.
Right. So even if it goes, well, hey, let's go infect July 1st, it technically be July 15th.
Brandy, are you able to, so are we saying that we would have Brandy not
do the automatic
do
one?
Do the May
not
automatic one?
Do the automatic one, May automatic one.
Good, Brandy.
If you pass a different ordinance, then the automatic
okay.
But can we freeze the automatic one from happening right now?
What? Why don't we pass one of these and just give it a different date? And that'll supersede the one in May.
So we're saying if we pass a new one today with different percentages with a future date already in it, then we would not do the one effective May 1st.
Correct. It'll supersede that one.
Or we have an option to continue with the one we have and still grant extensions and grace and waive late fees with the 5%, and then maybe maybe later, whether it's July or September, and we take some time to determine what percentage we want, then we have a different one then.
So do two rate increases.
I'm just throwing out all the options. And the second one maybe would already take into account the 5% that we've already raised at this time.
Not sure that our residents would like that. Just optically, that kind of seems wrong. Not I understand exactly what you're suggesting, but the optics of it kind of seem off.
We are not in a normal time period.
I know. So why would we raise rates twice?
Because we're not raising them to the full extent right now.
I mean, the full extent would be the 25% that's suggested.
Right.
And I think that's pretty much off the table, am I right?
I would say yes.
Yeah,
I would say yes.
Yeah.
Now we're kind of talking the middle of the road.
To the 10 or the 17.
Yeah. And when?
Although I am not necessarily in favor of raising our rates on our folks, I can understand the reason why we would need to. That being said, I would not suggest doing it twice in the same year. Whether by the automatic one that goes in effect and then us coming back and doing it again, if it must be done, I say we just do it one time, whether that's voting for it now with a specific effect date or coming back to this later when we know when our people are back to work.
So we're talking 10% and 17%?
Yeah.
Right.
Or do nothing and just go 5.
I don't think we can do that.
I agree. But I also agree with Terrence. I'm torn because there's a lot of people that are struggling right now.
The problem is our issues that we're having that we need to pay for aren't going to stop because
right,
of Corona.
Right, totally agree.
Looking at the study, I mean, they're talking $250,000 for a water main replacement that's needed immediately at the Broadway Reynolds that we're doing this year.
Mm-hmm.
Another $250,000 for the one that's done in 2 years Vorsi Lita, that's just water. $5.5 million for a wastewater treatment plant improvements. That's immediate.
Yeah.
Needs done. Another $1.6 million for the Southside Sewer Extension, which
the problem we're gonna have is somebody can't flush their toilet. We're gonna have a lot more issues than
exactly. And then
10, 15, 20%
a lot more expensive.
And that's what we're looking at.
I would suggest do the 17% or do the 17% on the sewer and the 10% on the water and then put it as a date in September. That would get our sewer a little bit closer to our water, which we need to do, and everybody's told us that.
You think September or August or?
I'm good with whatever date. Just put it out a couple months.
It's really hard to say. There's some far-reaching impact to what we're going through right now for many families. And I think it's going to be hard to put a date on it. I think if we put a date on it, we could come back and have to revisit it in a couple of months. We just don't know what's going to happen.
We can put an August date on it. And then
I'm not saying don't do it, but maybe can we continue to have it as an agenda item and keep working through it.
But if we don't
do anything, then I guess we can always vote to freeze water rates right now.
My thinking is if we don't do anything this year, we're just going to multiply. We're going
to,
instead of 25%, we're going to be looking at a 30%.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier for people to digest. I would say make a motion with a date, and if we need to revisit it, we can.
I agree.
If stuff you know, because we're hoping next month stuff starts opening back up. That's the hope. 100% probably not, but you know, by August, I mean, if by August or September we're not back to somewhat normal, there's going to be a lot more issues than just 10% water bill.
You want to agree on August 1st?
I think that sounds good.
And then we need to agree on the percentage. I like the 17%, but I don't like what it's going to cost the people. It gets us closer to where we need to be. I like 17 and 10, 17 on sewer and 10 on water. It breaks it up a little bit and gets us.
Yeah, because we've always agreed we need to kind of increase the sewer rate a little quicker than the water rate, just for the needs and the cost.
That's kind of what I like, but it's ultimately up to you guys. Figuring, get the calculators out. Actually, just look at the things.
Well, I was just thinking of something else. I just don't want to say anything until I have it down here.
And there's also the option of leaving the minimum rates the same without just having the minimum fee being the same as what it is in the current ordinance, too.
You know, probably if you leave the minimum the same, when we do start increasing the minimum, that could be pretty big jumps for people.
It's true.
So 10% water and 17% sewer September 1st, 2020 would give us 4 billing cycles. Right? Yeah.
And right now, I've given the front office staff a lot of leeway in working with people on bills and stuff.
Is that right? You said it's on the 15th, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you cut out what?
Our rates change on the 15th, correct?
Billing.
Our billing period is the 15th through the 15th.
Right, so it'd be 4 billings.
All right, does that sound good? Make the motion.
Motion to approve the water increase of 10% and sewer increase of 17% starting September 1st, 2020.
Can we make it September 15th? Just that will make Brandy's billing easier, won't it?
September 15th, 2020.
Okay.
Did your math come out to anything you wanted to?
So I looked at our rates, our current rates, and I took those same percentages, but I wanted to know what 22% on sewer and 5% on water looks like. 5% on water gets us to $17.71 and $3.01, and 22% on sewer gets us to $16.45 and $6.23. It's the same exact percentages, just increasing sewer because that's where the most money needs to go.
But I like it the way it is there, for the simple fact we have places that don't use our sewer but do use our water.
Right.
Everyone
uses the water, not everyone uses
a high,
the sewer.
And
yeah.
some of those use a high amount of water.
Yeah.
I just
had the thought, so I just wanted to see what the numbers were.
I like where you're going with it, and you're the reason why we came up with the.
Oh, I know. That's why I was.
Yeah.
That's why I was just
but
looking.
I agree with what you're saying. I was thinking the same thing because the fertilizer plant and all that.
Did anyone second
I'll
that?
I'll second Jared's motion.
So my motion was to increase the water by 10% and sewer to 17% starting September 15th, 2020.
Okay. And got seconded. Now roll call. Vicky?
Yes, provided we can always take a look at the date as it approaches.
Okay.
Yes.
Ryan Perry?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Jared Ping?
Yes.
Jared Robbins?
Yes.
Terrence Stuber?
Abstain.
Okay. All right. Anything else? I don't think we have anything else that I can think of. Anything for the good of the order? This was a lot longer meeting than I thought it was going to be.
Sorry, then.
No, you're good. No, this...
That stuff had to happen.
No, it was perfect. No complaints.
Is there any public comments on...
No, we had one.
Social media, emails?
We did have a email regarding...
Oh, cats.
Cats.
Which there's not much we can do about cats. Apparently... Yeah, well, there is, but people would get mad. And now that our coyote population is way down, so now the cat population is going up. We put traps out, and the maintenance guys are... How do we do that? We're going to check them in the mornings, and then our police are going to check them in the evenings? Something like that. I can't remember how we talked about it.
Cats are out
These
of
are just
room.
Stray cats?
Yeah, yeah, stray cats. But if we take care of some of our nuisance properties, which we've moved, we've moved on a lot of our nuisance properties. We have some. If you've looked at the list, has been updated.
I think some's
and
been added too, correct?
Some's yeah. been added. We got one taken off.
Fixed it, which is nice.
And some letters went out, and so we're moving on some of that. If we can get some of this cleared up, it'll take care of some of our cat issues. So they're doing what they can on the cats. So, and if anybody has any ideas on how to get rid of them, other than putting a bounty on them. So.
And we have ordered more traps to try to catch more.
That's great.
What about some spay and neuter days for vet med? Catch them and... I mean, they have a shelter med trailer that comes down.
Really? Huh?
I don't know.
It's an idea.
The students will need the practice.
Does it cost?
I don't know.
That'd be something to look into.
Yeah. I can check it out.
Yeah. That'd be great.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily get rid of the cats, but it prevents them from increasing.
Exactly.
Could if all the students fail.
Actually, many of the students end up taking their spay and neuter animals due to the agreements we have with some shelters.
Cool.
So,
all right. Anything else for good order?
The one thing I don't know if mosquitoes on.
Yeah.
The Matt, they picked that up when they had to have the bug sprayer certified 2 weeks ago.
And we haven't been billed for it yet.
So yeah. So that either. Which I assume if it hasn't been billed now, it will be
next year's. Okay.
Just letting you know the status of that.
Got to go back in the budget. Anything else? All right.
Motion to adjourn.
Need a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? All right. Thanks, guys.